May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 269. Now shall my inward joys arise and burst into a song. Almighty love inspires my heart and pleasure tunes my tongue. Hymn 269.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the 33rd chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah chapter 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and thou doubt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. When thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant one shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lay waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up, shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness have surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, He that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our Lord, our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. Thy tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen their masts. They could not strengthen the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Most gracious, merciful, kind Lord God, we bow now in thine unseen, yet real presence for worship. At the commencement of the worship of thy name this day, we ask that thou in mercy wouldst draw near unto us in this, the sanctuary of God, and in all thy little sanctuaries throughout the world this day. Draw near, Lord Jesus, and reveal in the scriptures unto us the things concerning thyself. Give to us now that spirit of worship, that spirit of reverence, that realization of the great and holy God whose presence we are now in. Help us, Lord, to bring the glory, the honor, the respect due to thy holy name. We thank thee for thy mercies which bring us into thy house safely through another week of time. We thank thee, Lord, for thy house of prayer. We pray that thou wouldst bless thy people with bread this day and feed the hungry, the poor, the thirsty, the living in Jerusalem. We thank thee for thy precious word we've read. We pray it may be made a blessing to us. We come before thee, Lord, as poor sinners. We are nothing else but sin, and we get poorer in sin every day. We need thy mercy and thy precious blood more every hour. We ask, Lord, that we might be led to the fountain of thy precious blood, which taketh away all sin. Draw us there by sweet and living faith. May we find his mercy in the heart of the Father still. And that thou hast those thoughts of everlasting love toward us that we have sung of as we opened our worship. Bless this house of prayer. We commend them to thee. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. In recent days and months and years here, we thank thee, Lord, for what thou art still doing here, in bringing another forward in the past day to tell of thy love. We pray for her. We ask, Lord, that she may feel the answer of a good conscience, and that she may be filled with the love of God in Christ, as she follows thee in thy ways. And that thou wouldst grant that help in walking out of the profession of faith. And Lord, we ask that thou wilt go on to be gracious and bring others to tell of thy love. And what a sacred theme it is, Lord. We have nothing better to tell than of thy love. Grant, Lord, that there may be much talking of the love of Jesus here. And may there be heart burning in those who listen. And that union formed which death itself can never break. So, Lord, we ask that thou wilt go on to work wonders here. And we ask, Lord, that thou wilt add to this congregation those whom it is thy sovereign will to save and to feed through the ministry of thy word here. And do bless those who gather here. Bless the living in Jerusalem. With more life. With more faith. With more hope. With more love. With a deeper knowledge of thee. And bless, we pray, the dead. Quicken them into life. Grant the opening of the blind eyes, the unstopping of the deaf ears, the breaking of the hard heart. The giving of the desires after Christ. Bless thee, children, and put thy fear in their hearts early in life. May they be privileged to walk all their lifetime long in thy company. May they be blessed to the house of God. Remember that any here in trouble, some, Lord, were walking in paths of grief and sorrow and disappointment and trial. We pray for them. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst watch over them and grant them to know thy comfort. Grant them to know the drawings of thy love. And may that thou know their souls in adversity. Be with any here, Lord, who need direction in the pathway which they should go. Guide them, Lord, in the paths which thou wouldst have them to take, and show the way clearly before them. Bless those in the midst of life who its burdens, cares, concerns, and needs. May we not be so swallowed up with them as to forget thee, Lord. May we always put thee first. Remember those in the evening time of life, drawing near towards its end, and sanctify old age, the limitations and weakness of the body, as the shadows of life lengthen. May there be that earnest prayer, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Reveal thyself, Lord, to us now. Guide us, Lord, what to preach from. And lead us into thy truth. Speak, Lord, and make us listen and understand and obey thy voice. Come, Lord, for Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, we ask your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Here we have a promise from Almighty God, given through his servant Isaiah. But these words come straight from the lips of God himself. A promise to the living in Jerusalem. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. These words, however, are part of a most solemn question. Which is asked in the 14th verse. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness have surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? There is a devouring fire. The question implies it. And God never asks unnecessary questions. There are everlasting burnings. In that solemn place called hell. And you know, friends, remember this, heaven and hell are real places. They are as real places as Swavesey is upon earth. They have inhabitants where people dwell. And you and I will either dwell with everlasting burnings, or we will see the king in his beauty, one or the other. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Notice who he's speaking to. He's not speaking here about the profane world. He's not speaking about the atheist. He's not speaking about those who have nothing to do with religion. He is not speaking of those who follow idols and other gods. Though it is true of all of those categories that they will dwell with everlasting burnings. But he's not speaking of them in this verse. How does it begin? The sinners in Zion. Zion is the visible church of God in this context. And here the prophet is speaking of hard-hearted sinners. We're all sinners in Zion, whether we are called by grace or not. But here he's speaking to those who are dead in sin, those who come to the house of God week by week, and yet they never hear in faith. Those to whom Jesus Christ means nothing. Are you a total stranger to Jesus? Does he mean nothing to you? Is Christ precious? He's not precious to the sinners and the hypocrites in Zion, because they know nothing of him. And they are quite satisfied to know nothing of him. You may know something about him, but that's not the same as knowing him. We all know about the Queen in England. Some of you may know more than others, but I doubt if any of us can really claim to know her. And more to the point, she doesn't know us. We all know about Jesus Christ, but how many of us have the privilege of saying we know him? And one of the fruits of knowing him is loving him. If you know him, you will find him to be precious. Sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness have surprised the hypocrites. Hypocrites. Those who look like the Lord's people, but in their hearts, they are far off from them. Those who have the right outward appearance, but inwardly there is nothing but unbelief and a love of sin and a hatred for God. Those who are content with coming to the outward worship and then carrying on in life as if you had never been here. What you hear in the house of God, you forget before you go out the door, and it never has an effect in your life. And you live like those who never come to the house of God. Those whose home is in this world. Your happiness is here. Your pursuits are here. Your real joy is here. And those who you are most comfortable with are the people of the world. Because you serve the same master and you're traveling the same way. The hypocrites. Do you know the Hebrew interpretation for this word hypocrite. I was quite surprised when I looked it up. I was expecting some long definition, as is sometimes the case with a Hebrew word. There's just one word beside it. Actor. You know what an actor is, don't you? They spend their life playing a part, pretending to be what they are not. And no doubt they could convince you that they meant what they said. But they don't really. They're just playing a part for money. They don't really think what they're saying. Their heart is not really in how they're acting and behaving. And when they come to the end of the day, they will go home and put off their costumes and be who they really are. That's a hypocrite. Is that you? Where are you going to be tomorrow? Are you going to be like the hypocrite, as far from God as sheep can run, living in the world, following the pursuits of the world? Using the language of the world, the honesty of the world, the morality of the world. Enjoying the entertainments of the world. With no thought for God, because you've put off your clothes. And until you put on them on again, you won't think of the word of God. That is the hypocrite. Now, it says here, fearfulness have surprised the hypocrites. Here Isaiah speaks of their end. They're surprised. They were never fearful in life. They went through life quite happily, believing that they were better than others, believing they were well on the way to heaven, because they were in the company of others, of those who really were going to heaven. And perhaps they spoke their language and deceived the very elect, that they were the Lord's people. Here we have their end, the moment after death. They are surprised with fearfulness. These are they who were strangers to Jesus Christ, but expected confidently, without any doubt whatsoever, of getting to heaven. Only to be surprised the moment after death, not to be admitted. And to realize that there's something more to real religion than the mere outward observance of things. Here is the end of the hypocrite and the hardened sinner. They dwell with the devouring fire and with everlasting burning. May that not be said of any one of us here. Search your heart. May God search it. Go to God in prayer. Take this question to him. And ask him so to work in your heart that you be not a hypocrite in Zion, but one of the living in Jerusalem. Now, we have the opposite to that in our text. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And it speaks in the previous verses of those who get there. He that walketh righteously. Religion has to be walked out. This means how we live in our daily lives. The dead can't walk. You've got to be living to be able to walk, haven't you? Have you walked any steps in the way of righteousness, in the way of faith? If you walk just one step in the way of faith, you'll get to heaven. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions, who shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. You see, grace in the heart will have an effect in our life. There will be an effect. It will influence us. It will change us as to how we used to behave when we were not under its influence. When we are a stranger to Jesus Christ, we behave differently to when we know him. And here is the end of those who walk by faith with Jesus. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. When the believer goes home to heaven to see the King in his beauty, literally, it won't be the first time they've seen the Lord. If you're going to see the King in his beauty in heaven, literally, you're going to see him by faith in his beauty here below. And again, here is a evidence. Do you find any beauty in Jesus here? If you don't find any beauty in him here by faith, why do you think you're going to find him beautiful if you see him literally? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, prepared by his grace. And unless we are prepared, we will not be happy there. If all our happiness consists of sin, we will not be happy in heaven because there is no sin. And that is one of the great joys of heaven for the believer, to be freed from sin forever. To love the Lord with an unsinning heart. And to serve him without offending him anymore. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. First of all, you'll be brought by faith to know who this King is. It's Jesus. If you go to the 25th chapter of Matthew, when it talks of that last judgment, the Saviour begins the discourse with when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Then it changes. From then on, he refers to himself as the King. It says, then shall the King say, then shall the King divide. Jesus reigns in heaven, and he reigns in Zion upon earth. And if you are going to see the King in his beauty in heaven, it will be your delight and your privilege for him to reign in your heart here upon earth. It is a reign of love. It is a reign in which he commands you to do things and then enables you to do them. It is a reign of love which forbids you from doing things which are against his honor and glory, but also will do you real harm. And in love he rules over you and says, thou shalt not do this thing. And in love he will constrain and teach your heart that your king knows best. It's a lifetime lesson it will take you to learn. Because so often you will not obey, and then you'll be brought into trouble and difficulty and into grief and sorrow. And you'll have to learn by experience that your king has your best interests in heart when he says, thou shalt not do this thing. And he's equally has your best interests in heart when he says, thou shalt do this thing. Jesus is a prince and a saviour. And if he's your saviour, you'll also know him as your prince and as your king. But if you know him as your king, you'll know him as your saviour also. You cannot separate the two. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Child of God, do you not love your king and his reign over you? Is it not your desire this morning, reign over me as king? Accomplish thy will and powerfully bring me forth from all ill. Till falling before thee, I laud thy love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. Yes, we're never going to be sinless upon earth. But if the king reigns in your heart, you will know what it is to strive against sin. And you will know what it is to deny yourself and do those things that you would never do by nature. You will know what it is to have to turn your back upon the world that you once loved, to part with company you once delighted in, to cease doing things that you once loved doing and lived for. That's the effect the reign this king has. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Then by faith, have you seen his beauty as your saviour? And as your Jesus? You know the name Jesus, it means Saviour. Is there not a sweet sound, my Jesus? Yeah, but to call him yours, what a privilege, what an honour. And if you can call him yours, let this be the theme of your life. When you come to those questions, as you will from time to time, what you must do, what you must say, how you must behave, what your spirit must be with others, let this be the question first. Not only, what would Jesus do, but what would my Jesus do? May the love of Christ constrain our hearts to follow him. Your nature will not like it. It's impossible by nature. But when God gives his spirit and he gives his grace, he gives you that enabling to follow him. my Jesus. The hymn writer says, my Jesus has done all things well. Some of you can echo it, can you not? All worlds, his glorious power confess. His wisdom, all his works express, but oh, his love. What tongue can tell? My Jesus has done all things well. Can you tell adequately of his love, child of God, for you? That amazing love that saved you? That love which brought the Lord of glory down from above? That constrained him to leave this throne of glory, this throne of beauty for you? That constrained him to come here and to live as a man of sorrows, to be in distress, to be poor, to be despised, to be rejected, to be crucified. For you. How did we open our worship this morning? Zion still dwells upon the heart of everlasting love. With you upon his heart, believer, he came down to this earth. With you upon his heart, for you particularly, actually, really, he suffered on Calvary's cross. He was punished for your sins. As a line of a hymn says, when I stood condemned to death, he took my place. And when you're brought to see that, you will marvel with wonder, love, and amazement that this almighty King should be willing to take your place, the place of an unworthy sinner, the place of the worst of sinners, the place of the most bankrupt, the most disgraceful, the most dishonorable, the very worst of cases. He took your place. And you will find Jesus precious when he applies it to your heart, that he particularly, really, and specifically suffered for you and was tempted for you. Fear thou not, nor be ashamed. All thy sorrows soon shall end. I, who heaven and earth have framed, am thy husband and thy friend. I, the high and holy one, Israel's God by all adored, as thy Saviour will be known, thy Redeemer and thy Lord. Though afflicted, tossed, tempest-tossed, comfortless a while thou art, do not think thou canst be lost. Thou art graven on my heart. This is what the King says to you, believer, this morning. You came into the house of God, ruined, undone, in despair almost, feeling to have failed, feeling that Satan had got the better of you, almost ready to give up. And even as you came in across the door, you have more or less said, "What is the use of me being here?" Here is what the King, reigning in his beauty this morning, answers you: "All thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be renewed anew. And in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. And the God of love can do almighty things. The God of love can do for you what no one else can do. The God of love can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. By his amazing grace, by his amazing love, by his almighty power, he can and he will save you from your fear, from your distress, from your sin. By faith, the believer is brought to see the King as Saviour in his beauty." Go to Calvary, and there behold the Lord of life expiring. See, believer, the Holy Father pouring out upon his Son the wrath that you merited, the anger that you earned by your disobedience. See it all spent on the head of Jesus Christ, who did not deserve it, and yet in love he took it all. He didn't leave a part for you to endure. The whole cup he took. He suffered. And you'll see the King in his beauty at Calvary, on the wings of faith arising. Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, "I suffered all for thee." Who can tell of the love of God when it is felt in the heart? When you feel your sin forgiven? When you know peace instead of bitterness and fear? When you know rest instead of turmoil and tossing and being like the sea that cannot rest. When you have that peace and that quietness and that assurance that all is well. All because of the love of God in Christ. Saved sinner, what you owe to him. You have been freed from the debt of the law. You have been freed from that debt that you could never have paid. When we sin, we become debtors and we are liable to pay because we have broken the law. But when Jesus suffered in the place of the sinner, he paid that debt, and therefore his people are no longer under that obligation. But child of God, you are under a deeper obligation. You owe your Saviour a debt of love. And can you ever begin to repay that love? The love of Christ constraineth us, says the apostle. And when you know that love in your heart, there would be nothing that you would not be willing to do for his sake, for the sake of the one who showed such great love for you. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. You'll be willing to forgive those who have wronged you. You'll be willing to come out from the world and to be separate. You'll be willing now to, instead of living to yourself, now it'll be your sweet privilege and delight to live for Jesus. That great theme, how can you honour him the most in your life? These are those who have seen the King by faith in his beauty and have loved him. They find him precious, they find him attractive, he draws them. The heart goes out to him. They rejoice at his name. If you ever rejoice to hear of the name of Jesus, if you ever rejoice to have heard of the gospel of Jesus, the living in Jerusalem are those who rejoice in his name. See where it shines in Jesus' face. The brightest image of his grace. God in the person of his Son has all his mightiest works outdone. The hymn writer goes on to say, my thoughts rejoice in Jesus' name. You know that rejoicing. That love of God shed abroad in your heart. That wonder and amazement that he suffered for you. He paid so great a debt. He endured that darkness. He endured that distress, that loneliness, that agony, that despair, that distance from his Father. And what an agony that must have been for the Saviour. To feel separated from his Father's presence. He loved the Father with all his heart. In a love that far surpasses any love that even we know. And you know what it is like to be separated from your nearest, those who you love the best. You find it hard, don't you? How do you think the Saviour endured not only being separated from the comforting presence of his Father, but instead feeling the anger of his Father? And child of God, your sins were the cause. We can never begin to measure the debt we owe to him. Neither can we measure the suffering and sorrow and pain he endured as he became our Saviour. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And then, have you seen a beauty in the office of the King as high priest? Now in heaven, before the right hand of God, he stands and sits. He sits because his work is done. You know, upon earth, the high priest was never allowed to sit down in the temple because the work wasn't done. But Jesus sat down, and he sat down as a high priest. And the reason he sat down is because the work of atonement and redemption is done. It's complete. It's finished forever. And it was accepted as such by Almighty God. And now he pleads as high priest the merits of his blood. Priest comes between God and a sinner. Jesus as high priest, when you poor sinner, feeling your need, feeling your guilt, feeling your depravity, coming to God asking for mercy, in that same moment, God's dear Son shows his wounds to his Father as high priest for you. And the evidence is that you've known that pardon and peace. You'd never have known it had he not done that for you. The holy incarnate God ascended, pleads the merits of his blood. Venture on him, venture holy. Let no ever trust intrude, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Child of God, one day you are going to see your high priest in his beauty in heaven. And the preparation for that is that you see him by faith here below as your beautiful high priest, still caring for you in heaven as he did upon earth, still exercising his love over you, still doing for you far more than you could ever conceive of. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And then as King, he has the absolute right and authority to pardon you your sin. You know, all his authority as King is behind every promise he's ever given you. He has the power to deliver on his promises, and he always does. He's given you a promise, you can be absolutely certain he will deliver it in every single clause. And the almighty power of God is behind that promise. He reigns for you, believer. One of the proofs he reigns is he gives you a promise, and he gives you the faith to believe it. And he gives you the faith to plead it. You're going to have to plead the promises he's given you. You're going to have to take them back to him and say, do as thou hast said. But he will do it. His honor and his name is at stake to save you from the burning lake. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And then you will see him in his beauty as your elder brother. And if he's your elder brother, then you have a father who also reigns in heaven as God. And you have a comforter as a Holy Ghost who reigns in heaven as God too. And your Father, believer, has you upon his heart. And you're never out of his thoughts, you're never out of his care. And all he causes you to pass through here below is in love. You won't always see it. But one day you'll prove it. If not here below in heaven, you will have to acknowledge that there was love in every step he drew you to, even in those paths of sorrow and disappointment and deep water and deep distress. Some things you do not know now. but there's going to be a hereafter. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You'll know the reason for it. And one of the joys of heaven will be he will explain to you why it was necessary for you to go through some of the dark paths you did. And you'll bow before him. And you'll acknowledge that he knew best, that he was right, and he did it in love. Thine eyes shall see. Believer, you who by precious faith have known Jesus, and you'd be lying if you said you were a stranger to him. Here is a prospect. And it's a precious one. By faith you have looked. And you have lived. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the way to heaven, the only way. You know, those who looked in the wilderness, they lived and were healed of that plague. But you know, there were those who did not look. And they died. Many thousands died. And sinner, you will die in your sin if you never look to Jesus. You'll perish. But you, believer, who have looked, and you have found Jesus precious, here is a prospect. By sight, with your natural eyes, to see the King in his beauty. And if he is beautiful to you by faith, how much more will he be by your natural sight? There's a beauty in Jesus that we cannot see this side of heaven. We see through a veil. When that veil is taken away, we will see more clearly. And he will be inexpressibly more beautiful and more precious in heaven than even he was upon earth. We cannot comprehend or enter into it. The child of God, one day you will. There's the lines of a hymn. Another verse which I found recently, which is normally left out of that hymn, "Come thou fount of every blessing." The last verse apparently goes something like this. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see his lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy matchless grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Believer, one day he will send his angels to carry you into his bosom. Yes, you were a beggar here. You'll not be a beggar there. Saved by his grace, redeemed by his love when he calls you home, you'll be rich beyond all comprehension or anything that can compare to here below. But you are already rich. Your inheritance is already there waiting for you in heaven. Right now you're being prepared for it. You're being suited for it. You're not ready for it yet. That's why you're still here, one of the reasons. But one day, when you're ready, he'll bring you, he'll carry you home to that inheritance of the saints in light. Then, child of God, take courage. Fear not. Be not faint-hearted. Your king still rules. Your king still has everything in control. Yes, your tomorrow in his control. Just as he has today, as he had yesterday. You've proved him yesterday. You're going to prove him today, and you're going to prove him tomorrow too. Your Jesus still rules. He still reigns. He still cares. He still delivers.
Collections last Lord's Day were £905, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper this evening and receive Lizzie into church fellowship at the communion table. And God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 563. Come thou now, exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth, forever, to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest, rule, and abide with us each, now and forever. Amen.